You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and we're talking moccasin and Joe. Where the party gonna hell? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill again. Tom probably still has the flu. I have the flu. I got it a couple days ago, and I'm getting over it. So here we go again tonight. I'll try to keep you updated on what the status of Tom is here through the week. Last week we had some really good show. We have a good show every week. What are we talking about? But tonight I've got two special guests. Come on, actually I got three special guests. I see that our good friend Father Ray, oops, he just disappeared off the thing here. He must have lost contact. But Father A was with us. He'll probably dial back in. We have a couple of new guests on the show tonight with some new experiences. I'd like to thank all of our listeners out there for the emails and, the little entries into the guest book and other things to say hi to us. A lot of people out there wishing Tom a quick recovery. From being sick here for almost a week and a half now. But we appreciate it, and we appreciate your concern. I want to thank all of you also for ordering our DVDs. There have been quite a few orders coming in here left and right. But thank you, and we'll keep on going with you folks as well. We got a great big Bigfoot family out there. Many of you have been with us for years, and it's going on. It's over 7 years now. So there's quite a few people out there that have been with us all this time, and we want to thank you very much for being a part of our family. For our new folks tonight, we're going to welcome you to our Bigfoot family as well. Well, let's get out there and let's start doing some Bigfooting. Our first guest is Steve from, Steve is from Florida, and Steve is going to relate an experience he had some time ago when he was in the military. Steve, how are you? Are you there, Steve?
Yeah, I sure am.
Yeah, how are you?
Great. Hey, thanks for having me. Hope you feel better soon, by the way.
Thank you. Okay, Bruce, thank you. Steve, let's we'll start out with where the beginning of your story starts out. You were in the military, right?
That's correct. I was stationed at Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
Anybody who's ever been in that area knows it's in the middle of nowhere. There's a bunch of woods and swamps, and it's a very remote place.
Mm-hmm.
But when this happened, we were it was a normal summer day, and our unit was doing land navigation course, and we split up into two. There was two people with each group, and they gave us a map and a compass, and we were to find points. Well, kind of embarrassingly, we got lost.
Ah.
And
one thing, Steve, when explain the weather. Well, when you say normal weather, what's normal weather in the Louisiana swamp?
Well, very hot, very humid, very sticky, no wind, no breeze, a clear, sunny day, blue skies. It was about as perfect of a day as you could ask for, except for it being 100 degrees or whatever it was.
Right.
But it was very hot. That I remember.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my buddy, we get lost, and so we're trying to find our way back, and we end up getting to a point where we started getting concerned. We had been lost for 3 or 4 hours. We ran out of water. We were sweating a lot, so we were really concerned. So we kind of stopped to gather our thoughts and try to come up with the best solution. And we came across this really big tree that was laying on the ground. And so we kind of just sat down on it and started talking about which direction should we go. And within probably 15 seconds of us sitting down, there was another large tree about 12 to 15 feet to our left. And from the base of the tree, just started violently shaking, back and forth, back and forth. And it caught our attention, and it stopped. And again, there was no breeze, no wind, no nothing. So out of just normal human response, I guess, I just kind of looked over and I said, hello? And what appeared from behind the tree came this giant, I don't even know how to describe it. It wasn't a bear. It wasn't a person. It was way too big. And I just stared right in its eyes.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you've seen this thing, Steve, can you give us kind of a description of what it was? I know it wasn't human looking, but was it shaped like a human?
It was shaped like a human in the sense that it had two legs, two arms. The arms were really long, but it was really wide. It was probably anywhere from 6'7" to anywhere up to maybe possibly 7 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
It would have been the biggest human that I've ever seen in the sense of how tall it was and how broad it was.
Sure.
And definitely the hair really, I remember the hair standing out to me. It was very stringy. it wasn't nothing that I've ever seen before or since.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember staring at it, and then I just turned and I ran right into my buddy, and I grabbed him, and I remember saying, "We got to get out of here," and we just took off running, and we went the same direction, and I never looked back. I just kept running, and as we were running, there was this howl or scream or something that I don't think that I could ever. I've ever heard a human scream like that, and I don't know if I've ever heard an animal scream. It was different.
Mm-hmm.
And about the time that the scream stopped is when we stopped and we turned to look to see, you know, if it was following us, and it wasn't. And consequently, minutes later, we actually ran in the right direction, and we found a road, and when we got picked up by our unit.
Oh, man.
But so our unit picks us up, and we're dehydrated and all that, and they're wanting to give us water. And I said, "No, guys, listen, there's something. We just saw this thing in the woods, and they thought we were nuts."
And yeah, of course, yeah.
We filled out a report. We drew a picture of what we saw, and everybody said we were crazy. And so after that, we kind of stopped talking about it.
Sure.
Because nobody believed us, and I wouldn't believe somebody either. And I was always a big skeptic on the possibility of these kinds of things, but what I saw is what I saw. And
I understand.
I've never seen anything like it before. I've never seen anything like it since. And, but I tell you, it was, a very frightening few moments there staring at the eyes. And one thing about the eyes was it was very, very dark. At least that's what I remember.
Yeah.
It was like staring into whatever it was. It didn't want us there. I mean, it was
right.
It was like staring at us, like, "What are you doing here?" or something like that. That's the best, sure, I can describe.
Well, you're probably in its territory or near it, maybe where it's at, maybe a family or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, kind of protecting itself.
Mm-hmm.
But when you looked in the eyes, it just kind of got to you, didn't it?
A lot of people
have described that as like, looked like they, a lot of people have described it to me as, it's like it looked right down into your soul.
it was just staring at me, and I just looked right, and it was like I was just drawn to stare deeper into this creature.
Yeah.
And like something hit me, like, "I got to get out of here." And then that's when I just turned and ran. But I think my buddy was more fixated on it because I almost ran him over.
Well, I don't blame you. I mean, it's a pretty scary experience. Now, you know, a lot of people ask us these questions, Steve, and the reason I'm asking you this is just so people get a reality check on when they have an encounter with something like this. Now, you weren't thinking about taking a picture of this thing, were you?
We didn't have any of our cell phones.
It wouldn't have ever crossed your mind, would it?
I would have never. I don't care if I had a camera, a videotape. I would have never even thought. The only thing that hit my mind was
get out of there.
And even if I had a weapon or something, I don't even think I would have fired a shot because I was just terrified at what I was looking at.
I understand totally, and most people are. That's the point I'm trying to make to everybody out there. We have a lot of listeners. A lot of times, send us questions and they ask us these questions. Well, you know, if you've seen it, how come you don't take a picture?
even if you have a camera
at the ready, the thoughts going through your mind are nothing about taking a picture or anything like that. It's to get out of there before something happens to you.
Yeah, I was
survival mode kicks in.
Yeah, and we were already kind of getting in survival mode because we were out of water. We were lost for like 4 hours, and you know. But I mean, once I saw that thing, it was time to go.
Now, you said the hair was long, kind of stringy, long, kind of a brown or a black or what?
Brown. It had some mats in it, like, you know, like it was
right.
Like mud. You
like
know,
matted, like, matted kind of stringy hair, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was real stringy, but, you know, parts of it I remember being matted from, like, mud or
yeah,
or weed. Or something.
Yeah. I understand. Well, if as a reference, you know, when you've seen these long-haired dogs in the woods or something, you know, these real long hair, like a collie or something has real long stringy hair, and
mm-hmm.
you've seen what happens when they don't, you know, when you don't comb it, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Or you don't brush it, and it gets matted kind of like in places. It's still stringy and long, but it gets matted up. Is that kind of that, similar to that, you think? Mud and other crap in it, probably.
Yeah, I would guess. I mean, I'm not too familiar with dogs that, like, I've never had a dog with stringy hair before, but
yeah.
I would imagine it's probably like that.
When you, how about the, on the features, the neck, was there, does it look like it was like a football player, no neck and shoulders?
Honestly, the neck thing, there was so much hair and it was so broad across the shoulders that I didn't even notice a neck.
Okay.
I'm not sure it even had one.
Yeah, it's like a head on a set of shoulders type, right?
That's probably accurate because I mean, I stared at it for I'm going to guess maybe 5, maybe 10 seconds and
right.
That's when I got out of there, but, I was drawn in on the eyes of this thing, but I remember exactly, like, you know, the arms had to have been at least more than half its size of its body, but you know, the neck was kind of. I just didn't get a good look.
Oh,
at
no,
that
I understand.
Part.
Well, it's not a feature you remember, and that's okay. I just some of the description. I get a lot of different descriptions, and what I was trying to do is piece together the. You know, the full description of the creature. And when you saw the face, did you notice, was the face just covered with hair, or did it have partial hair on it with skin,
The face, it had a like a smaller nose, kind of like the nose was kind of pushed in a little bit.
Yeah.
But it had its teeth showing, and it had really large teeth.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like lion teeth, sort of. They were really big, like
uh-huh.
the canines on this thing were huge or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like growling at it. I mean, it just like snarled at me, and then, you know, it was like I said, that whole thing about what are you doing here? You know, that was pretty much its face. It was kind of wrinkly in the face.
Yeah.
But it had hair coming down from what would be like the cheeks and all that.
Sure.
But like the face, right where the nose and the mouth is, was kind of dark.
Mm-hmm. Was it more human-like versus more, you know what an ape looks like, right? A gorilla is real pronounced.
Yeah.
And that wasn't what the face looked like, right?
No. I mean, it was a mixture between, it was a mixture between a human and it's kind of weird for me to say this, but a mixture between a human and an ape, because
yeah.
like this thing was standing upright on two legs,
right?
And you know, the face didn't look like human, but it didn't look like an ape either. It was really odd,
right?
And
well,
that's
the nose,
kind of
normally on an ape, the nose comes way out like a snout kind of, or like you know how a gorilla nose is, right? It's like a big, what you call a nostrils and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
But that wasn't it. What this was had a smaller nose, more human-like nose, I guess, but a flat nose, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was bigger. It was a lot bigger than a human nose. It's tough to describe. Kind of like a pig snout, sort of, but it was pushed
okay.
up.
Yeah.
It was kind of pushed in, kind of like an ape, but not completely.
The same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. That's pretty good. Wow, that's a pretty good description taken on that. That's real good. Well, gosh, the first thing I want to tell you, Steve, is welcome to the world of Bigfoot. Welcome to our Bigfoot family. It's an interesting experience, I know. It's a life-changing experience in a lot of cases for a lot of people. And what went through your mind when you, can you remember just what went through your mind when you heard this thing and saw this thing? Was there any particular thoughts other than getting out of there? I mean, I know you must have feared for your life.
When it first came out, I remember, like, my heart, like, skipping a beat.
Uh-huh.
And then I stared at it, and I was, like, frozen. Like, I don't even know what I remember thinking, but, like, just something dawned on me. I got to go.
Uh-huh.
And so, when I did take off, I remember running and saying, what the hell is that? What the hell is that? As I'm running. And then after, we got back to our unit, I just remember kind of, like, panicking and telling them, guys, there's something back there. There's something that I just saw. And my buddy was doing it, too. And, we were excited, and we wanted to tell people what we just saw. But the more we told it, the more we got ridiculed by our company leadership. And eventually we just quit talking about it.
Yeah, and I understand that totally. That happens, Steve. Don't feel lonely. That happens to almost every single person I've talked to, friends, family. The closest people to them are the ones that doubted them the most, and those are the people they trust the most.
the thing that I told them was, we're trained to be descriptive on everything that we see and what we do, and we were being descriptive on what we saw, and they were laughing at us. So that bothered me a lot.
Of course it did, and I'm sure. And of course, you don't want to talk about anything that's going to put you in a ridicule situation, especially in a group of people. For God's sake, your fellow servicemen that are with you there, and I mean. There's a certain amount of respect and rank and other things that go with what you're doing there, and if people think that you're, something's wrong, then you're going to lose a little bit of your respect, your personal respect from people, and so obviously it's you just don't want to even bring it up.
Right.
I understand that. Well, gosh, Steve, at the end of the show, we have about a 5-10 minute period where we all get together and we talk about, people can ask questions, and you can ask questions of other people that are going to be on the show, too. And what I'd like to invite you to is the end of the show, and we'll open it up for everybody, and you can be a part of that if you'd like.
I'm going to have to get home and plug my phone in and call back in if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. That'll work.
Okay.
What I want to do is I want to thank you, Steve, for coming on tonight. And we'll see you a little bit later when you plug your phone in and everything. And you take care, okay?
Okay, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Steve from Florida. And an interesting experience that he had. Our next guests, actually two guests here, are Mike and Preston from Kentucky. Mike and Preston, how are you?
Going good. How you guys doing?
Good. Is this Mike?
This is Preston.
Oh, Preston. How are you, Preston? Well, I talked to Mike earlier, and Mike said that you had some, an experience that took place. Mike, tell us a little bit about your experience, about when it was, what year. Don't give out any locations or anything if it's near where you live or anything like that. Just talk about generalities like a wooded area, or you don't name any highways or anything like that. Just go into the
No problem.
what you did, okay?
All right, well, I'm going to let Preston go first because he first saw sight of this creature probably about, what did he say, 2 months ago?
Yeah, just about.
Probably about 2 months ago, and not far from where my house is, you know, just up the road, you know, in a, you know, wooded area, like you said, and I'm going to let him talk and tell you about
his
experience seeing this.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Preston. Tell us.
Alrighty. It was really late at night, and I was just coming home from Michael's house, or I was with a girl, actually. We were all hanging out. And
yeah, about what time was it?
It was around midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and as I'm coming home, I'm coming up over this hill, like just as I do every time I'm out here. I'm coming up over this hill, and I see there's a mailbox and a tree leaned up against it and another tree like 2 feet away, and they're like directly next to each other. Well, as I come up over this hill, and since it's late, I have my brights on, so I didn't hit any deer or anything. Well, as soon as I come up over this hill, my lights catch the eyes like you would a cat, and they like flash bright yellow. And as soon as I see this thing, it literally took my breath away. Like, I made that noise, and the girl I was with looked at me, and as soon as she looked at me, she saw it immediately the same time I did. And just what I saw was the craziest thing I've ever seen. It was huge, probably 7-8 foot tall. But what really stood out to me was the claws this thing had. It had, like, immense, like, black claws, and it was covered in white fur, but it stood out. That's what stood out to me most. What was so big about it is it was really built. Like, the muscular definition I could tell in this thing was, I've never seen something built so big before. And as soon as I saw it, I was immediately, like, frightened. And me driving home, I made as much noise as possible because I was terrified. I didn't know what to think, and I didn't know what I saw.
Now, when you saw this, was it standing up?
Yeah, it was standing, like, straight, like, looking at me like it was ready for me to come over that hill. Like, I felt like I made eye contact.
But it didn't look, I mean, was it like standing on 2 feet?
It was standing on two legs, and between my car and where it was standing, it took about, like, a 5-second drive, and in that time, it, like, disappeared in a flash. The closer I got, it just disappeared in a blink of an eye. It was, speed was immense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it was pretty big. What's really neat is it's white, you see, and that's the reason is we have very few sightings of a white creature, but we have them, and we have some videos, as a matter of fact, of a white creature as well, and it's kind of like rare, you know, a yellowish gray or yellowish white or whatever, but that's what you saw was a white. Was it fur, or did it look furry, or did it look long and stringy, or what?
Yeah, it looked like long and stringy, kind of matted, like it's been out in the woods, you know?
Uh-huh.
Could you see any
other feature? I know this is at night, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and you use your headlights are what's hitting it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it lit up the tree, the mailbox, and it was standing right in between the two trees, just looking directly at me. And, I mean, me being scared, I sped up as fast as I could, and the girl I was with saw the exact same thing, and we just couldn't believe our eyes and what we saw.
Uh-huh. And you said it took off like a shot, right? These creatures are very fast.
In the blink of an eye.
Yep, they're very fast. They do move very fast. Well, gosh. And, of course, again, obviously, you didn't wait around to take a closer look.
definitely not. I was out of there.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Wild.
That's okay, too, because most people, that's the reaction you're going to get, is get out of Dodge, you know, quick.
Yeah, as soon as I saw it, I was like, we've got to go out of here.
Well, good. Well, now since that was 2 months ago, and since then, of course, your best friend Mike has had some other goings on that's taken place since then, right?
Yeah, maybe it was more recent.
Yeah, well, within a month or two is pretty recent. And now let's find out what Mike had.
Well, actually, probably only a week or two ago, I believe it was 2 weekends ago, And see, I live in Kentucky, obviously, and we live in the northern part of Kentucky, and there aren't any, you know, there's no bears, there's no, you know, large, you know, predatory animals out here, like nothing,
right.
Like there's no, like, mountain lions, cougars, nothing that, you know, would replicate the sound that I heard that live in this area. And, you know, just, we got, you know, have coyotes and maybe the odd wolf, but, I mean, the sound that I heard and sound of my friends, my neighbors, I've talked to them, cause I told them, of course, you know, I was going to go on this show with you guys, and they gave me their input on the sounds that they have heard. And I heard about 2 weeks ago, I was standing outside on my porch, and I was listening to the coyotes yell, because the coyotes, we have a lot of coyotes out here in our woods, and I like to listen to them yell and yelp around and whatnot. And as soon as they stopped, they were all, you know, have you ever heard coyotes?
Sure.
You know, they start yelping, they build up gradually, and then they end up stopping, and they stopped, and the second they stopped, not 20 feet from my back porch. Are you there?
Yeah, I know. You go right ahead, Mike.
Okay. I thought I heard some static going on. About 20 feet from my back porch, and it was dark. This was nighttime, probably around, you know, 11 or so. It just gotten dark, and we have a fence. We have a large pasture, and about 20 feet from my porch is where our fence line is, and I heard it come from the fence line, and it was like nothing I've ever heard before, and I didn't see anything, but it even scared me at that moment. It was the only thing I compare it to is like the roar of, say, a lion or something. It was a deep, guttural,
mm-hmm.
angry roar that I heard, and I've, you know, it was loud. Like, there's no mistake. Like, did I hear that? You know, what was that? It was
kind of vibrant.
I knew. Yes, it was very. It was nerve wracking. It shook the bones.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I heard that, I bolted inside real fast. I didn't stick around and see what else I could hear. I turned the lights off, locked the door, but it was a deep guttural roar that just, it seemed very angry for something. I don't know if it was, you know, looking at me. It was dark out there. I couldn't see. We have, you know, trees. We live out in Kentucky. I couldn't see, but I kind of guessed where it was coming from, and I felt the intention. It seems to be the, you know, back off, like a warning. It was a
mm-hmm.
the trying to, you know, scare me off. I guess I was getting too close to it. I don't know, when I walked outside and it was there, and I surprised it maybe. I don't know. But and my friends have reported this. They live near me. My neighbors, they don't live far off, 5-minute drive, and they have reported hearing sounds in their woods at night, but not so much as the deep roar that I heard, but like yells, like more like a scream.
Uh-huh.
Like, for instance, as the guest before us described, more of a yellish scream that our neighbors have been describing in our woods.
Uh-huh. Well, both of those are pretty common. They're common kinds of noises from, we think, from these creatures. And they're, of course, the bellowing, that guttural, deep, vibrant type of a yell or growl is one of them, and of course they do what they call, people call it whoops, you know, whooping, and that kind of a thing, and screams, and whistles. So there's several different kinds of, and also, just so you guys know, these creatures also, what we're pretty sure, they can imitate many different kinds of animals, but you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference because they're animated. For instance, if it tries to do a coyote yell, it'll be an animated thing. In other words, you know how a real coyote howls.
Yes, of course. Of course.
And what this will do is kind of like it's overdo it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One time they even somebody it said a crow way in the middle of the woods. You heard a rooster crow. Yeah, but it was a sick rooster. And so, I mean, they can do different kinds of sounds, noises of different animals as well. They can mimic.
Well, the sound I heard was nothing like I've ever heard before from any mm-hmm. other animal in real life.
Yep, and I've heard that as well, that type of thing. Well, gosh, you guys, now, you know, both of you have had kind of a neat experience. I'd like to welcome you both to the world of Bigfoot and welcome you to our Bigfoot family here on
Bigfoot Live. But we'd also like to thank you for coming on the air and sharing your story with us and with our listeners out there. There's many people out there that there's so many different, I get so many calls a week on our Bigfoot hotline from various, I mean, from everywhere you can think of. Canada, all over the United States. The only state in the United States I haven't got a report from is Hawaii. Okay? That's the only state that I haven't gotten a report from. But I'm telling you, from all over. And Kentucky is a very busy place. Virginia is a very busy place. North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Arkansas,
I heard
Mississippi.
That, Washington and Oregon
yes.
may have a lot of sightings there. I saw a map that kind of pinpointed a lot of major spots where.
Yeah, everybody thinks that Washington and Oregon are the only the place where these things, the Sasquatch things, hang out. Okay, but what they really don't realize is they're all over. They are all over the place. I mean, in Newfoundland, it's up above, New York, way up there in the Canada area there. I had a report from there last month. From Rhode Island, believe it or not. That's the smallest state we've got, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maine, Vermont, any place you can think of. Montana.
They seem to span across the country, so you ever think that there might be, say, like multiple breeds or species of the, Sasquatch, Bigfoot?
Yeah, there are, and that's what I was going to bring up. There are several different kinds of species that we are aware of by descriptions from people and by our own research that we've completed through the past years.
Have you guys seen anything that I described? Because I said it had long black claws, like, when I saw this thing, it automatically came to me in my mind like it wanted to hurt me.
Oh, yeah. Well, the claw thing I've heard before, and the white, what was significant in was white, right?
Yeah, pure white.
Pure white. Yep. And that's rare, but that's a kind of sighting that we've had. And, in fact, I think we went through, 20-some hours of video, and we... one time, and we got one little 5-second splotch of a white creature coming through the woods after viewing it for 20 hours. But they do have them, and there are different sizes of these creatures. And what I'm going to do is I would like to, if you guys hang on till the end of the show here, okay. And what we're going to do, we're going to open it up for questions for everybody. And some people might have some questions for you. We have some old-timers here, people that have been on the show and that are actually researchers from this that have been with us for quite some time. And they do continuous research, and we keep in contact with each other all the time. In fact, that's what we really have. We have a network of people throughout the United States and Canada that we've met through these years. And many of them are conducting their own research, or if they're not doing research, in other words, they don't want to do research, they keep their ear to the ground, and they pass on things that they've heard in their local area from other people and put us in contact with them. And that way we have a very large network of people that are significantly tuned in to these creatures. And there are several different species of these creatures that are available. We call them Bigfoot or Sasquatch, but there's really the sizes are different, the features are different, the DNA is different. Okay, and we've got at least three different kinds of DNA that we found so far, and one would be ancient human. In other words, it is an ancient human species. The DNA came up human, but not normal human like today. It came up 15,000 years or more. And then we have others. One is within three genomes of a human, and the other is within two genomes of human. The DNA is completely different. It's not ape, and it's not human. So there are different things that are out there, and it's, as we go along, that's what we try to figure out. But I want to thank you, both of you guys, for coming on tonight and sharing your story. We're going to bring you on if you would like. We'd like to have you come on at the end of the show, and then we'll open it up to everybody and see what questions come about, okay?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we'll do that. Thanks for having us, by the way.
Well, thank you, Mike and Preston. I'm going to mute you out right now. You just hang on. You can listen to the rest of the show right here, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mike and Preston from Kentucky. As you know, both of them have some pretty unique experiences, a little different descriptions of the creature. And I'll tell you, that's one of the things that we look forward to. Our next guest is Anthony. Anthony, how are you tonight, my friend?
How you doing there, Mark Bill?
I'm doing great.
Tom feels better soon.
Yeah, he was going to be on tonight, I think. I don't think he can make it, though. He wasn't feeling too good the past 2 weeks here. And actually, the last Wednesday when he was sick, the Thursday, he went into the hospital. And then I don't know when he got out. I think he got out on Friday. But he's been sick ever since. And he gave me a call. And let's tell him I know he was alive. But he's probably not feeling too good still and couldn't make it tonight.
Right.
For everybody out there, if you go to our website, www.bigfootlive.com, that's www.bigfootlive.com, and there's a table of contents on the main page on the left side. And if you look, what's on this week? You click on that button and that link, and you'll come up to the show listing of tonight's show. And under Anthony, you're going to have a slideshow. Yeah, Anthony, why don't you tell us what's been going on in the past week?
Well, this past week, went out with my friend. That you know, he's the same guy that when he first moved into the property that he saw, you know, monkeys swinging around in the trees and
right, the guy with the back hurt back.
He's doing a lot better now. You know, I happened to go out with him this past Friday night. You know, because you know he works a late shift, and so you know I met up with him like 12:30 in the morning, and you know. Because he wanted to show me some spots along his route that, you know, he found interesting, you know, and things that he, you know, didn't pay much attention to before, but now he did. And before we left, you know, he showed me that branch, you know. He said that he just happened to be walking by the tree, you know, to get to where his mower's parked, you know. He has to walk by this huge tree where he's at, and he saw all this, like, you know, sawdust on the ground. He's like, you know, how did all this get here? And then he just looked up and he...
Yeah, let me explain to the listeners what we're talking about. If you look under in the slideshow, you're going to see a couple of pictures that Anthony sent last week. And those were new tree. You know, one was a tree was down and there's something in a tree. Looks like, we don't know what that is, but it's hanging there in the middle of the tree. And then the third thing is the newest thing I added to it, and that was this branch, or, is it a branch? Or
yeah, it's a branch.
It's a branch, and it's got holes in the branch. It's like, it's not rotten, but it's got holes in it where under the bark and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. And when you look at the picture, you know, mind you, I'm directly underneath the branch looking up. You know, the holes are facing down to the ground, you know.
Right.
You know, so this is not a woodpecker or anything like that. I mean, something was, you know, definitely.
So something, it looked like something was digging in it.
Into it to get some grub, you know.
Yep, to get, right. And that's the point I want to make. And actually, we're going to
If you want to know, both Rocky and Swede had a similar experience, only it wasn't, they found a deer antler in a tree. I'm going to have them bring that up when they come on next. And they were using the deer antler, looked like, as a tool to dig through the, you know, the grubs and stuff inside the tree and under the bark for bugs and stuff. But
yeah, that particular area, we didn't see any antlers or any other, you know, bones that could have been used as tools, you know,
mm-hmm.
or even any other branches. We just, you know, he just happened to notice, you know, all this on the grass, and then he looked up, and then he said, "Here, before we leave, you know, I just want to show you something." You know? And that's the picture that I took, you know. But the rest of the evening was not disappointing. You know, he took me to an intersection where he had recalled there was one occasion recently where he had stopped at this intersection, and he said that the calls, the yelling that was going back and forth, you know, at that particular intersection was you know, it was overpowering the engine and idle and the radio that was playing. You know, he said it was louder than that, you know. And he
mm-hmm.
just found it weird, you know, so it's, you know, about 2 in the morning, so we just say, you know, 2, maybe 3 in the morning, so, you know, I say, hey, cut off the engine, you know, we're not going to be blocking traffic. Let's just get out and listen. I mean, it literally took, you know, just a few seconds, you know, before we heard a, you know, like it sounded like a dog barking. It was just a single dog bark, you know, but... You see, he's a dog owner, and he knew right away. He said, that doesn't sound exactly like a dog, you know. And, you know, and it just kept on, you know. Because a normal dog would be, like, you know, disturbed and, you know, be, rah, 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 you know, it didn't do any of that. It just, like, rough, you know. And
right.
It was very, very loud, and, you know, and just like when we're trying to, you know, figure out if it's, you know, the creature or not, you know, then we just hear one loud, you know, it was like a one loud wood knock, you know, like, okay, that's it. You know, we know for sure it's not a dog. You know? And interestingly enough, you know, even though the intersection was in a near wooded area, there was one home nearby, you know, and I would say that, I mean, if we're, you know, experiencing that, you know, we just pulled up. I'm sure them folks there might be experiencing something, but not saying anything about it. But like I said, it was very interesting. And at the same time, you know, he had the parabolic mic with the headphones on, and he was saying something is walking back there. You know, he could hear it. He said something is walking back there. You know, he could hear it. And then after. You know, after a while being there, we just moved down the road, you know, a couple miles, and it was the same thing over there. I mean, we didn't hear any, you know, single dog barks or any wood knocking, but he said, you know, we without the parabolic mic, we could hear something walking because, I mean, it was, you know, snapped some twigs pretty loud, and then he had the mic on and he was listening. And he said something, you know, in that particular area, he said something's like, you know, moving gently. But in any case, you know, again, you know, some people could be out there all night, you know, for a 2-second sighting. But, you know, we happened to stop in two places.
Well, you know, the opportune time for these creatures to be out usually, now that doesn't mean they don't come out during the day. They do. But the opportune time seems to have been between 10 and 3 or 4 in the morning, and you know, 10 o'clock at night to 3 or 4 in the morning, and, you know, they're nocturnal, so more than likely that's an opportune time to be able to see these creatures, or to not see them because it's dark, but if you know what I mean.
I hear you.
But you know, of course, in the woods and other things, they during the day we don't know, but it would appear that they have sentries that are about and I think they sleep mostly during the day in bedded areas or areas where they may find themselves, you know, protected. But they either make their own shelters, other things that we found. So it's a pretty interesting thing.
I'm just hoping that Jim Dawson will give us some more interesting stuff, too.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of difficult for him to really get out there because, you know, his son is autistic,
yeah.
And it's a difficult thing to try to, you know, do that at late time. But what he does spend a lot of time out there with other people trying to collect the information from other people that have had the stories and other things like that and near him. And it's been pretty productive, yeah.
Yeah, well, I know when I visited him, I mean, it, you know, that was another area. I mean, I was out there and we sat on his porch and it wasn't even 3 minutes, you know, before we see a pair of eyes. Yeah. You know, a pair of red eyes, you know, out there, you know, and I told him where I seen him. He says, yep, that's where they're coming from all the time. You know, so, I mean, he lived there with them, you know, so.
Yep. Well, that certainly is amazing. Well, gosh, Anthony, thanks again for coming on this week again to give us an update.
Sure thing.
Continuing action, as always. And that just tells us that those creatures are out there.
That's right. There it is.
So it's not always the visual contacts that do it. It's all the other things that you find, you know, corroborating evidence, footprints, tree formations, all those other things that add to it.
Yeah.
And it's just a pretty unique thing.
Yeah, plus the visual reported last week, you know, so it's...
Yeah. Well, you're going to hang on to the end of the show, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to mute you out. We're going to go on to our good friend Rocky in Swede.
All right.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Anthony from Virginia. And next we're going to go to Rocky in Swede from Arkansas. Rocky in Swede, how are you?
I'm doing good. But that's nothing new.
Doing just fine, Marco. Feel good.
Yeah, did you hear what Anthony was saying about the branch or that kind of a branch that they had where there was like sawdust or you know, flakes of there's actually when you look at the picture on that I've got up there, you see the holes are drilled into the bark, through the bark in there, and there was like chips all around the area where that was. And it's not a woodpecker. And is that kind of a similar situation to what Swede, you found with the antler inside that tree?
Well, my thing, the log was laying on the ground, Marco. It's probably a 24-inch diameter log, you know, just a deadfall.
Yeah.
It had been laying there, and it was if you just put it in your mind like a trunk, like a big sea trunk, then the top half of it, it was like just like a trunk, like you could just raise it up, like a trunk lid, and inside of it was all just a whole inch or so of the outside layer of the tree was there, and the inside of it was kind of sawdusted and you know, broke down into some like some mulchy type material, and I had noticed this stick laying there, and you know, I don't know that the stick was a prop stick or not, but that's what I did with it. I just lifted that. I thought, well, that's kind of weird, and I lifted that lift. All of a sudden, that thing don't look like, it looks like that thing's been lifted off of that, and I lifted it up like a hinge. And that stick, I stuck that stick in there to hold it, and I was just kind of looking, and I saw just a little bit of that antler sticking out of it, and it was like down, say that thing was, I'll say that log was probably, how long you say it was, Rocky, what, 15 feet long?
Yeah, it was 15, 20 feet, something like that.
And the antler was in the middle of it. And so, you know, there's no way that... you know, a rodent or a coon or something like that dragged that half of an 8-point deer antler from one end of that thing.
Yeah, and a deer didn't die in the middle of a tree.
No, and it was definitely been, you know, that stuff had been all stirred around in there, it had been dug in. And, you know, I'm totally convinced that it had used it for a tool to dig in there and get grubs. But the amazing part about that is it's not like a one-time deal like we talked about. Like a bear would get in there, it would rip the top off, it would get whatever was available and move on and leave it in a mess, you know.
Right.
But it was put back in together like it was a frequent visit, you know, like, you know.
Like it was a little cupboard. A
little
pantry.
Cupboard, you know, like me and Rocky stash our stuff out in the woods. Well, it had its stash, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just amazing to find that shed there. I still got that thing. I was just looking at that thing the other day, and I was kind of looking it over a little closer. You know, we handled it quite a bit and stuff. And, you know, like Tom says, probably I should have just bagged it right away, you know, and he could have done some tests on it, looked it over, and seen if there would have been anything, you know, any DNA or any hair or anything on it. But we were just, out doing the thing, and it was one of those deals. We kind of stumbled across it. And now we kind of look for that stuff when we're out in the woods, you know.
Yeah.
Like Anthony, you know, kind of keep your eyes open, and you see a this or a that, you know, that's a little out of place, and kind of pick up on it.
Yeah. Well, has anything been going on in the past week or so?
We went out Monday, and
Monday night.
Yeah, we went out Monday evening and out behind Robert's place, out behind the Swede's place. It's a wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
We walked up in there and we were just like I was saying earlier. We think that what Robert smelled and saw. When was it, 2 weeks ago?
Why don't you go through that so everybody refresh everybody's mind what happened?
Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, quickly, just had a nighttime thing of the big sweet potato rotten meat smell come through the house there. We had the windows open. It's cooling down in the fall. And it just immediately woke me up from a dead sleep, and I smelled it, and I got up and went to the window, and there's not a cricket, not a bug, nothing, not a sound outdoors, and the dogs weren't doing anything, and I grabbed the weapon, went to the front door, and the dogs were on the front porch where my dogs are, you know, don't do that. My dog's usually getting after something if there's anything out there. But anyway, they weren't, and by the time I kind of freaked out about the dogs being on the porch, I went on upstairs and went to the sliding glass window upstairs where I could look out, you know, had a little elevation, and grabbed my spotlight, my big light, and looked. Didn't see anything right there immediately beside the house, and as I was scanning across 100 yards or a little better, probably more like about 150 yards up there to where we've got our round bales for the cattle stacked, I saw an upright creature walking took about two big strides and was behind the bales, which we roll the big ones. They're about 6 foot high. When I'm standing beside one, I can't really look over it. And it was a good 2 foot beyond that on the back side of it, walked into the woods, and I just immediately knew that we had had an encounter, and you know, I remember the smell from the. It was exactly the same smell that me and Rocky had experienced when we had the cutie stolen and at our campsite when we were doing some research out at the place that we go every August, and it was just so we kind of took a couple expeditions here to try to see if we could catch up with it or find, and we've kind of come to the conclusion that it must have just been passing through. But we had an encounter down in the woods Monday night with a couple of black bears, and actually Rocky had I kind of smelled a little bit of a, we went on a little trail and we actually saw this first little bear, and we kind of knew about him. I've seen him several times on the place, and we kind of walked down there on him and kind of started smelling around there, and I smelled some sassafras, and like I was talking earlier, we talked about the tracking thing, and I was just using my nose there, and I smelled that strong sassafras, and I thought maybe that little bear had broke some stuff, but Rocky actually picked up on it on across the way there and had found another trail, and he said, look, it's over here, and there's a couple of limbs that was just snapped sideways off this small sassafras tree, and it led us to us. We would have not even found it, but just kind of picked up on that smell, and it was just a little key to kind of look in that general direction. And found that found them two broken limbs on that little sassafras tree. Smell like root beer, you know. It's a natural in the woods, but it was strong enough to know that something had happened. And Rocky's like, it's over here, you know. This is where we. And so let's go down that trail. And we actually went down that trail. And what happened, Rocky?
Well, we were going down through there. We were seeing. I was seeing limbs that was broke off, three and a half feet off the ground down low. And, you could see through the weeds and stuff that they were all mashed down. But, it wasn't a brand new trail, but we got on it and, we followed it probably 2 miles. Something like that. And anyhow, we kind of got up to the top of a ridge, and we saw a movement down below us, and it was just a big brown, reddish brown kind of a, you know, just a big spot. I mean, we couldn't tell anything about it because the brush was so thick. So the Swede cut down to the kind of the southwest of it, and I watched him until he got on down there a little ways, and I cut back to the southeast, and I was upwind of him, and I got to where he caught my scent, and as soon as it caught my scent, it started moving down toward the Swede. Anyhow, so I followed it on down, and anyhow, it walked within, about 20 yards of Robert, and it was the biggest bear I've seen in Arkansas. I mean, we don't have big bears here, but that one looked like it weighed about 300 pounds.
Wow.
And, we named it Fat Bastard. Because it was a fat bastard.
It was. But, we were kind of ready for something else, but we weren't ready. We weren't prepared for that bear. We hadn't seen him on the place, and no sign of him. He's either newcomer or something. But that,
somebody asked me last week about a shotgun being a viable weapon for being out there in the Bigfoot woods. Well, just so happened me and Robert was both carrying 870 Remington pump shotguns loaded with 3-inch Magnum slugs. And I can't remember who it was that asked me. I was thinking it might have been Anthony or I don't even remember now, but,
Robert, but it could have been Richard.
Yeah, Richard, that's who
it
was.
Wasn't it?
Well, just so Richard would know, yeah, that's what we were carrying because, 3-inch Magnum 12-gauge, the Remington Sluggers, that's about a 75 caliber, about 3/4 inch across, weighs about, 550 grains?
They're about, 546, 547?
Yeah, somewhere around in there. It's going about 1,760 feet per second with probably about 3,000 foot-pounds of energy. So, yeah, Richard, carry your shotgun when you go out there. It's a good idea. That's what we did, big medicine. But anyhow, Anyhow, I just happened to, that just happened to come to me. But anyhow, it got within, I don't know, I'm saying about 20 yards, right?
Yeah, it never did really see me. It was just more concerned about smelling you up there upwind, and he was just getting out of there. There wasn't a conflict or anything, and we weren't really looking. You know, that wasn't what we were kind of ready, but that wasn't what we were looking for. But we did have a pretty good, pretty exciting encounter with that after all the tracking to find out it was just a big old fat, big old jug-headed bear. But we didn't see anything, Marco, that would lead us to believe that that anything is still in the vicinity close at hand. But, you know, again, the tracking skills, you know, if anybody picks up on that kind of stuff, you know, if you get out there and you start looking around for stuff, kind of cue on some of that stuff, you know. If
yep.
you see some smells, I mean, you know, smell some smells that are natural smells, but if they're extremely strong, look, you know, it could be something as simple like, you know, like Rocky, you know, Rocky ain't got no sniffer, but he can smell them wild onions. If there's something big, a deer walks through the little meadow there and walks in you know, a little bitty footprint, he may break a few onions off, but you won't smell them. Something with a big old foot as big as one of them creatures, and he mashes down a dozen at a time every time he stomps through there, you're going to smell those wild onions. You pick up on that kind of stuff, and it may put you, you may be 10 foot off of something and have a real good trail or maybe some viable footprints that you could cast. Never knew they were there, but it's just another little thing that you might pick up on that could help you find it. In other parts of the world, you know, up north up there, maybe it's cedar, maybe it's pine, you know, maybe it's sage. You know, there's wild onions everywhere. Some people pick, you know, you're going to pick up on them smells. It can really help you on your tracking, whether or not it's deer or you know, if you're going to be out Bigfooting, it might put you on a lair. It might lead you to somewhere where you could find some bedding areas or some stuff like that by just a simple sniff could help you a lot. You just never
know. Gosh. Well, let's open it up for everybody. You want to do that?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Okay, Steve, you're on. Gentle Giant. Mike and Preston, you're on. Anthony, you're on. And Bruce, the steak man, you're
hey,
on.
Hey, that's really good. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
We're doing good.
How are you? Hope you're doing good.
Hey, did the one that said that, something about claws on the creature, that could be an intimidation thing, too. It could be nothing more than just for defense and intimidation.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I think what he was normally when you're looking at a hand, which these creatures have hands similar to ours, they're not claw like, they're hand like, and I think what he was saying, what this was like, real long claws, and that's a kind of a newer description.
Right.
They just dropped off the line. I don't know what happened. Maybe their battery got.
I was going to ask him if he had, whenever they were, the boy, the young man that was in the service that had the, from Florida, that had the issue there in Louisiana, did he smell anything?
I asked him that, and he said he didn't. Hasn't come back on yet. He said he didn't smell anything, but then again, they were close enough probably to do that, but... But I don't think they hung around long enough to do
right.
too much.
I think he was pretty traumatized. That may not have even registered in his mind because he had
right.
to get out of there going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I don't blame him a bit.
Not at all.
I mean, if something is there shaking a great big tree,
yeah, especially if
it's big enough to shake a tree.
And all you got is a compass in your hand. Where do I go?
I grew up in the Florida swamps, and I've had many.
But this wasn't in Florida. This was in Louisiana.
Yeah, well, it's not very far away from Florida. But what I'm saying is, I grew up in the swamps. You know, dealing with stuff like this, Marco. You know what I do for a living.
Yeah,
and you know how I am, and everything. You know, these things have never, ever hurt me. They may intimidate you, but they do not hurt you.
Well, you'd have to tell Rocky that, Snake Man.
Well, you can tell him that carries a big stick. Oh, I'm sorry, a gun.
3.454s and still have to go to the knife. I'm saying that it may not want to hurt you, but I'm not saying that it can't. And I don't think Rocky wants to do that again.
Well, the fact is, I was fixing to go to the bathroom. I wasn't doing anything that was intimidating to anything that wasn't under me. And anyhow, me and it, we kind of locked horns after I fired three shots. But I wouldn't have fired three shots if I didn't feel very intimidated. And anyhow, I still have a recurring shoulder problem from getting thrown down through the woods, getting the shit squeezed all out of me. I don't know about any of it, but the ones that I encountered. And I kind of have a feeling that it had a problem with me and was fixing to, I'm still not convinced that I was long for the world had I not had a .454 pistol and a big knife.
Was there any chance that there could have been a female or a young, couple of youngins around somewhere?
It was a female. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It was a female. But, there was, as to whether there was anything else around, that was something that I didn't really, I didn't concern myself with that because I thought I was fixing to be a big pile of Bigfoot poop on the side of the hill. I don't. So, my thought was if I kill it won't kill me.
Well,
so.
The different encounters that I've had, I've always only had a knife on my hip or my snake stick or my tongs or something like that. But it never attacked me. It never did anything like this.
In most cases, Snake Man, they don't. Okay. But I think if they feel threatened in some way, or even maybe if it's a juvenile surprise or something like that, in a couple of cases where they have, I mean, we've got three or four cases where they have attacked people out of all the things that we've got. And, Roger Peterson, I mean, you heard his account, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it took off after him. And he got about 10 feet from him before he leveled it out and shot him mid, section with a .410. And then it took off. But, I mean, not all, but there are several instances where these creatures have attacked or charged people and tried to do harm to them.
Right.
And,
well,
even though Ivan Marks,
that could have been a charge. That could have been one of those things. What it was trying to do, and what happened, could be something. I mean, what it had in mind and what I had in mind may have been two completely different things. But I didn't feel like I had time to do any reasoning. I just had time to start blowing a bunch of smoke at it. And, it wasn't big. It may have been a juvenile, but it was a female. I can guarantee you.
Maybe something hormonal or something. Maybe that drew it into a rage or something.
Well, I don't know. It didn't. I'm still convinced that as much pressure as it put on me, all of that, I think if it had it wanted to, it could have killed me in a heartbeat, but what it wanted to do was not, that wasn't the most important thing on my mind at the time. I shot, and when that didn't stop the situation, well, once I lost the grip on my gun, all I could do is just go ahead and start cutting and sticking, and I didn't, and still to this day, I don't really lose any sleep over the fact that I did what I did. I'm not, it's just one of those things. I was in survival mode.
Yeah.
And,
I've had, encounters, up close, arm length away from me and all that, and they've never tried to hurt me. That's just weird, you know?
Well, I was a little closer than arm's length. I mean, it slammed into me. I dropped my gun. All I could do is just grab my knife and go to hacking. And it, well, I guess it got enough of that because it threw me down the hill. And, anyhow, it went on. We found it the next day.
And Rocky, you got to remember, too, I mean, the people need to understand here, at that point in time when all this went down, we were at the gym and doing construction work, and there were not very many men out there in the world that wanted to get a hold of us, and nobody was going to throw us down the hill at that point in time, especially not you.
Well,
not without coming out of it, you know, unscathed. And that was a major deal. You didn't even tell me about that for the longest time. I found out about it sometime later.
The second time that Tom came down here to visit to me was the first time I talked to you about it.
Well, that's been, I don't even know how many years, but it was
been
long
years.
Enough where it was just something I knew that, that it was a traumatic event, because if you didn't tell me about it, then there was something serious about it. And
it was serious.
Yeah, it was serious. I mean, and, we've had encounters with lots of hardheads over our years, and there's always something. You either took a weapon and you laughed about it, or you gave one and you laughed about it. But you never said a word about it. And it
well,
was,
you know,
really weird.
Just to kind of put it all in perspective, at the time that happened, I was a bodybuilder, a competitive bodybuilder.
Okay.
I was weighing, I don't know, about 200 pounds, I was bench pressing 385 pounds. I was leg pressing over 1,000 pounds, and I thought I was the strongest man in the world. And that night, that thing I don't know that it was any taller than me, but it was a hell of a lot stronger. And so, and that was neither here nor there. That was after it got hit three times with 454. It was still stronger than me. And it's still something, it comes right down to it. There's a lot of times at night when I was sleeping real soundly, all of a sudden, I see a red-eyed thing coming out of the brush, and the sleep's over. Well, you've heard me out in the woods, Swede. You've heard me scream.
Yeah,
screamed like a little girl. Well, maybe not like a little girl, but it's been back to haunt me a lot of times.
I can tell you this: that if when we're out there in the woods, if it's my time to be awake, and Rocky's time to sleep, and I'm on watch, it doesn't matter if I say if I hear something and I say Rocky, and he always says, "Yeah, I heard it." It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If Rocky's on watch and I'm sleeping, he'll have to wake me up. But if there's anything goes bump in the night, Rocky's awake instantly. I mean, it's just one of those things anymore for him. But, it's, you have to be. We've got bears and everything else come in there on the camp. And then, of this last time with the cuties being, I'm going to get that to Marco, and y'all get to see that on the website at some point when I get that to him. But you can see some of that, how close that was to the back, how this last episode, how close that Bigfoot came, that creature came to the back of the tent and Rocky, and it did not wake him up. And so you could say it's pretty stealthy if they want to be. And that was pretty amazing to me, because we've had everything in the world come in our camp, and we always wake up, but neither one of us did that night. And
hey, Rocky.
That was pretty stealthy.
Hey.
Now, you said that was a female Bigfoot that grabbed you and gave you a bear hug?
Yeah.
My lady over here is laughing about that. Well, first, not to make a punt joke or anything like that, and I do believe the Bigfoots always have, but the first time I ever heard of a female Bigfoot grabbing the guy and shaking him around unless she wanted something else and saw something that was cute.
Well, Steve, I'm a married man. That's why I shot.
Whatever. Don't get me wrong. You're lucky. I would have never. I would. I've always wanted to have one of them pick me up, but at my height, it's kind of hard to do.
Well, yeah. Well, see, that one saw the same size. Saw me being about the same size as it. I don't know. Maybe it wanted to give me some sugar, but it just didn't know how to communicate that to me.
I was running away from there.
I want to thank everybody for coming on tonight, and again sharing your experiences with us. And as always, I'll keep in contact with everybody through the week. And just a special thank you to all of you for taking the time out to come on and sharing with us.
Marco, I want everybody to know that all of these shows, everybody needs to say thank you to you because you've done so much.
Always say that.
Well, I appreciate that one.
Definitely.
I just want you to know we all appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Marco, Rocky.
Marco's the heart of the show. He's the heart of the Bigfoot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you, Marco Bill.
Thank you, everybody. And you guys take care and have a wonderful week. Everybody out there, keep Bigfooting, keep the Bigfoot live, and we'll see everybody next week. Take care now. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We're all together.